Welcome to Nature Calls, conversations from the Hudson Valley. Our team's goal is to present science-based information about gardening and all things nature in New York's Hudson Valley. Hosts Gene and Tim, along with team members
Teresa, Linda, and Annie,
are master gardener volunteers for New York's Columbia and Green Counties. So if you're interested in gardening or nature or nuggets of information about what's happening outside your door, settle in. Enjoy the conversation. Whatever the season, we have something to say.
Hello and welcome to Nature Calls, Conversations from the Hudson Valley. I'm Teresa.
And I'm Jean. We're here today with Master Gardener volunteer Shelley Hafner, who is also an expert on microgreens, daylily breeding, and a beginning cut flower farmer. Shelley also hosts a YouTube series called Guiding Green Thumbs. Shelley, what else should we know about you?
Well, I've been with my husband for 13 years, and if you watch my videos, you'll know that he tolerates my plant addiction and my ambition really well. But I also have two kids, a 7-year-old and an 11-year-old, who definitely keep us busy.
I love the 7-year-old. In one of the YouTube things, her boots got stuck in the mud, and they had to lift her out of them.
Oh, yes.
That was fun.
She loves to find trouble, that kid.
That sounds like my kind of kid. Well, I was thrilled when you told me you grow microgreens. We've been keeping an eye out for an expert and didn't know we had one in-house. Yay. How long have you been growing microgreens?
Well, I've been growing microgreens for a couple of years, but this year I started growing for profit. I actually joined the Chatham Farmers Market and really started expanding the varieties of seed that I grew. And we started bringing fresh trays to the market and found out how much interest there really was in microgreens and how much people really didn't know about microgreens. It was such a weird dynamic there. But we ended up bringing sort of a microgreen bar where people could just come, pick, choose, cut their own custom mix, and you can't get any more fresh than that. So it really jump-started my love for microgreens and expanding what type of seeds that we did grow.
So I'm going to jump in here and steal one of Jean's favorite questions. Can you define microgreens? How is it different from sprouts?
Sure. Well, microgreens, you're essentially eating the seedlings of edible plants. So you're basically having the cotyledons come out and you're harvesting them prior to the first set of true leaves. So with sprouts, you're sprouting seed and then you're eating sort of the radicals, which are the roots, the sprouts, and you're not really giving them a lot of light. You're eating very immature cotyledons. So the growth time for sprouts is generally like 3 to 5 days, whereas microgreens, you're growing from between like 7 to 21 days.
Wow. Can anybody grow them? Is it easy to start like a project with kids?
It's awesome for kids. And I'll tell you, there are certain varieties that are very easy to grow and they're fast growing. So with kids, you know, they have to see something immediate. You have to keep their attention going. This is very hands-on to sow. You sow densely, so you don't have to worry about kids properly spacing the seed. The density really is there. You can just let them kind of sprinkle them on. And when they grow, they're sprouting within 2 or 3 days. And every day there's a growth that they can see. So it's so fun. And most people can do it. There's not really a lot of tricks until you get into some of the advanced microgreen varieties.
So I would assume you've got to schedule the seeding so that you've got them ready for your farmers markets.
Yes.
And your retail.
Yep. That's the most difficult part about growing for profit. As a home gardener, if you're just growing them for yourself, it doesn't really matter. You harvest them when they're ready. But to time the individual varieties and to know what type of climate you have in your particular growing space, that is the trickiest part for growing as a business.
Do you need any special materials? Is regular soil okay, or do you need something special?
Well, I've found that a compost-based potting mix is really the easiest and most forgiving material to use. And you can use any sort of tray that'll hold 2 to 3 inches soil. But if you are growing hydroponically, for example, that's a lot less forgiving, and there's certain microgreens that you can't grow hydroponically, whereas, you know, sprouts, that's how you primarily grow. So the soil is important. You can also grow in vermiculite. You can grow in coconut coir mats or jute mats, hemp mats. There's a lot of different ways to grow And some are just more forgiving than others, which is why I choose the compost-based soil. It just allows you a little bit more flexibility.
So it's more for the texture of the soil than the nutrition, because you don't really need to feed them. You're eating what was in the seed in the first place.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So tell me more about the hydroponics.
So for hydroponics, it can be challenging for some microgreen varieties, but clover, radish, collards, and kale would all do well. But then the root vegetables, they don't really want the hydroponic constant water. You're growing them for the greens, but the root is essentially drowning. So you have to really know which varieties you can grow, which varieties you can't. I think growing in a soil or a soilless mix is definitely the way to go for a home gardener who's just beginning and who is just trying things out. It's sort of like that beginner
101. That's what we want.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
WebMD says that microgreens are supposed to be even healthier than adult plants. Is that right? Are there actual studies?
So the interesting thing about microgreens is they've picked up this popularity in the last, 10, 15 years. But there are not a ton of studies done specifically for microgreens. So there is a guy, however, there's an Italian guy, and I know I'm going to butcher his name because I'm really good at that. But his name is Francesco, and I'm just going to spell the last name, D-I-G-I-O-I-A. Feel free to take a stab at that. But anyway, he has actually led a research group in the College of Agricultural Sciences at Penn State University, and he's done this for the last 15 years. So he has quite a few studies done on different aspects of growing microgreens and their health. He is an expert in sustainable vegetable production systems, plant nutrition, soil fertility, vegetable quality, agrobiodiversity, agronomic biofortification, need I go on? He's a lot smarter than I am.
Say that again.
Needless to say, he's just brilliant and well-versed in a lot of the things that we would ask as far as nutritional quality of microgreens. But on the PennStateUniversity.edu website, you can find a lot of his studies and they'll come up. But I have to warn you, they're very advanced. Mm-hmm. And if you ever have trouble sleeping, if you read through them, you will start. And I'm sure that for the common brain, you will help you fall asleep. But he really dives into some of the best answers. However, you really need some education behind reading his studies. But also, one of the best things that I did read when I was researching this was there was a study project that he was involved in that had to do with food resilience in the face of catastrophic global events. And it was an international team that concluded that microgreens have the potential to help global nutrition security. So because you can grow them in a variety of different mediums, and they grow in such a short period of time, and they don't need a lot of direct light or heat mats or artificial lighting, this could actually help be an efficient food resilience resource for people, especially in food desert areas. And if there's global catastrophes, it's just something that you can get your nutrition from in a short period of time and really help with that.
Well, now you've officially scared me to death. Okay, I'm cheap. So I wonder, can you reuse the same soil? You're only using it for a little while with each crop. Or does it matter?
Well, you're probably not going to like my answer too much, but mm-hmm. There is a remedy. So you can't reuse microgreen soil per se, because when you grow microgreens, you're growing them so dense that the roots kind of mat into the soil. And there's only a 2 to 3 inch layer there. But what I've found is that when you are done harvesting the microgreens, you take that excess soil and you can make your own compost pile because there's organic matter and roots left in there. And then you're making, yes, compost, and you can add that and amend your garden beds. That's what we do. We take it and amend our garden beds and our raised beds with that mix because it just helps the soil. So there is a second use for them.
Well, that makes my frugal soul happy.
So once you have your little leaves and it's time to harvest, how do you actually use the product? You can't cook them, right?
I wouldn't recommend cooking them, and I'll give you a little feedback. Microgreens are gorgeous. They are hot pink. They're rainbow colored. They're green. They have different textures, different tastes. And eating them raw is really the best way to eat them. So you don't have to just eat them like you would a salad, although throwing them in the mix makes salads just gorgeous. You can throw them onto a BLT. And doesn't that make it healthy? I mean, that's my way of eating with microgreens. So you can top sandwiches, you can throw a few in soups, you can do many, many things with microgreens. For some microgreens that my kids don't eat, I actually throw them in fruit smoothies, so they're getting a dose of them that way.
Sneaky mom.
Yep, yep. But they actually love the pea microgreens, the shoots. They're crunchy, they're sweet. The sunflower ones are good. So there's a lot of ways to use microgreens, but raw eating them is really my preferred way.
Okay. That kind of leads into my next question. Do you have favorites?
I definitely have favorites.
Okay.
Let's talk about those. So when it comes to easy, fast-growing microgreens, radish and broccoli, you cannot beat those two. They are spicy, so if you like a little spice in your salad, there's purple radish microgreens that are amazing. There's also the most healthy ones, which would be your red garnet amaranth, your cabbage, and broccoli. I also am fond of the pretty ones. So, you know, you have the hot pink ones, the rainbow Swiss chard, beet mixes. They're so pretty. They're yellow and red and pink and green. It's just amazing to see them. They're just fun, and I love pretty food, so... I tried one, which I was super excited about, cantaloupe. You would never think to grow cantaloupe seed as microgreens, but guess what? They tasted like.
No.
Yes, cucumber and cantaloupe. It was the most amazing. I was surprised.
Is it just the two little round leaves?
Oh, they're thick.
Yeah.
They come up. They're thick. But the one caveat to those, if you're not a fan of peaches because of the peach fuzz, they do have a little layer of fuzz on the leaves if you grow them a little too long. So if you're not a fan of that little fuzziness, probably wouldn't like them, but they're amazing. I was very shocked. That was actually a fun growing episode there.
Now, if we only had video and you could see Shelley's face talking about those, you would want some right now.
Right? I'm actually remembering, oh my gosh, maybe I can get a dose of cantaloupe in the winter because you can grow microgreens all year long.
And
you don't
light
have
requirements.
Correct.
Awesome. What's the worst one?
There are a few mustard microgreens that I'm not a huge fan of. I'm not a fan of like having that bitter aftertaste, although there is a market for that, but I'm not a fan of having that bitterness in my mouth afterwards. So the mustards are not really my favorite.
So mustard followed by melon might be okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's time for Tim's famous question. Obviously, you're an optimistic person with all your projects and just by the fact that you're a mom. What can you point to especially that gives you hope for the future?
Well, I have a favorite quote, and I have it on my website and my Facebook page, and it says, "Happiness is right where you plant it." And I love this because when it comes to our future, we can create our own hope in a lot of different ways. Like as gardeners, we think of planting some physical seeds and then witnessing the wonder of nature, right? From this tiny little seed grows all of this possibility. But on an even larger scale, we can plant seeds of education and wonder within our children's minds, and showing them experiences in the garden, discovering the wonder of it all, it empowers them. And in return, it just fuels us. And I feel like that's something that they're going to remember and carry forward and pass on. So I just saw it so much this year as an instructor at the kids' garden in Chatham. And I just take those moments and I soak them in because those are what is going to drive our future.
What do you think we left out? Because we're skimming the surface with microgreens. Is there anything else you want to tell us about?
I would definitely say if you are a beginner and you've never tried microgreens we're kind of scratching the surface for you and you're thinking, can I try that? Don't go out and buy all of these setups. Don't buy the lights, the racks, the trays, and make this huge investment because you're not going to grow for profit. Try a packet of seeds, try the flavors, see if you like it, try your windowsill, just get a feel for growing them. I would say definitely don't go overboard like I do and have the entire setup in a week and then try to figure out the timing and the growth patterns. But do give it a try because it is something that you can do over the winter. And you know, in our zone, we have very long winters. So I would encourage people to try it. You're creating food for yourself. It's a fun project, even with the children. So I would definitely encourage just to give it a try if you haven't tried them.
Do you need special grow lights, or you can just use windowsill sunlight?
Depending on your sun exposure in the windowsills, you don't need lighting because they don't need a lot of light to grow. And it's okay if they get leggy and lean because you're really just cutting off the tops for the greens anyway. But if you're going to grow them on a regular basis and your home is sort of dark, you don't have a good sunny windowsill, you would probably need an additional grow light if you were going to do it on a regular basis.
Shelley, thank you so much. You're getting me excited about potentially trying to grow microgreens.
Yes, thanks so much for having me. It's so exciting to come and offer my thoughts and hope to be back.
Oh, we're looking forward to you coming back. Thank you.
That concludes another episode of Nature Calls, Conversations from the Hudson Valley. We would like to thank Sandra Powers and Devin Connolly from Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties for production support. And a special thank you to our listeners for joining us on this episode of Nature Calls, Conversations from the Hudson Valley. You can find links to any of the topics mentioned in this episode at our website at ccecolumbiagreen.org. Comments and suggestions for future topics may be directed to us at columbiagreenmgb@cornell.edu or on the CCE Master Gardener Volunteers of Columbia and Greene Counties Facebook page. For more information about Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties, visit our website at ccecolumbiagreen.org or visit us in Hudson or in Acre. Cornell Cooperative Extension provides equal programming and employment opportunities.